Hello everyone, I am Arvinda from Indian Institute of Science, Bangalore. Today I will introduce you to the RCU reader preemption problem. And okay, before I start introducing to the reader preemption problem, let me briefly explain you about the RCU read copy update synchronization mechanism. So read copy update is a highly scalable synchronization mechanism where readers do not explicitly synchronize with the writers. Because readers do not explicitly synchronize with the writers, the read-write primitives are extremely write-fit. So for example, in the non-preemptible kernels, the RCU read lock and the RCU unlock are just no ops. That means the read lock and the RCU read unlock do not change any state in the system. However, it is the responsibility of the writers to ensure consistent view of the data structures to the all consistent view of the data structures to the all the readers at all the time. So I think RCU is better explained with the help of an example. So let's consider the linked list delete operation as an example. Suppose this is the linked list, and we want to delete the node B from the linked list. However, there could be some readers which are already accessing or which are referring to the object B in the linked list. So in this case, writer initially removes the object from the list and then waits for the readers to complete before reclaiming the memory pertaining to this particular object. And this wait for readers time is usually called as grace period. And once the grace period elapses, there are no more readers who are accessing this object P, and object B can be reclaimed. And it's interesting to see that how we can wait for the pre-existing readers, or how the grace period is computed. As I already mentioned, the read-write critical sections are just no ops. That means they don't change any state. Then how do we detect the completion of a reader on a particular node? So interestingly, the RCU state machine in the non-preemptible kernel enforces two restrictions on the readers. The first restriction is the RCU readers are not allowed to hold any reference outside of the read-write critical section. And the second restriction is the RCU readers are not allowed to sleep, yield the CPU while executing inside the read-write critical section. So the second restriction is almost similar to what we have for spin locks. So if the CPU is yielding, then it means that that CPU is not running any read-write critical section. So when we see that a particular CPU is context switching, and especially in the non-preemptible kernel, if the kernel is context switching, that means the kernel is voluntarily yielding that particular CPU. So if the kernel is voluntarily yielding the CPU, that means there are no active read-write critical section going on the particular CPU. Hence, once all the CPUs perform the context switch, we can say that there are no more active readers on that particular object which the writer is waiting on. So in this example, you can see that the read-write critical section on CPU 2 is active when the object was deferred for freeing. But once there is a context switch on all the CPUs, we can see the context switch on all the CPUs, we can see that there are no more active read-write critical sections, and this particular object, which was deferred for free, can be actually reclaimed. So with this introduction, let me explain the RCU reader preemption problem. As the name states, it's the preemption of RCU readers while executing inside a critical section. So the hypervisor can preempt any vCPU, and the vCPU could be running the read-write critical section. And the impact is, if the read-write critical sections are preempted, then the grace periods cannot complete, because the grace periods can only complete once the read-write critical sections complete. So let's look at this example again, and let's suppose that the vCPU 2 is preempted in between. So if the vCPU 2 is preempted, then it can't report the context switch. So the reporting of context switch will be delayed on CPU 2. And because of this, the grace period will be extended. Because that the grace period is getting extended, so the object which was deferred for freeing, the reclamation of this particular object which was deferred for freeing will be delayed. So, and it will be reclaimed at a later point of time. So if you look into the linked list example again, suppose the CPU 1 is performing a linked list delete operation while CPU 3 is performing linked list insert operation while CPU 2 is performing read. So because CPU 2 is preempted while CPU 1 and CPU 3 continue to run, the nodes in the linked list are inserted by CPU 3 but it's deleted by CPU 1. But those nodes cannot be reclaimed because the grace period is not completing, or the completion of the grace period is delayed. Because of this completion, the objects, the memory of the objects can pile up. So to evaluate this using the PostMark benchmark, PostMark is a mail server benchmark which creates and deletes a lot of files. It maintains a file per mail. And in the Linux kernel, which uses RCU, every file deletion defers an object for freeing. So that deferred object, especially the directory entry and inode objects, are deferred for freeing. And those deferred objects can only be reclaimed after the completion of the grace period. And if you look into this diagram, on the left-hand side is the baseline, where only one VM running was running on the hypervisor. And the upper diagram shows the memory trace, where this is the grace period duration. And we run PostMark benchmark, and this is the memory trace. But when we reran this experiment in the overcommitted scenario, where we had another VM contending for the vCPU, the vCPU of the VM which ran PostMark was preempted often or frequently, and that caused spikes in the grace period duration. And because of these spikes in the grace period duration, we also saw spikes in the memory footprint. So, there is around 29x increase in grace period duration and around 2x increase in the average grace period duration and 29x increase in the maximum grace period duration. And there's also increase in the CPU utilization because more time is spent in performing a lot of operations, for example, allocations and freeing. And especially the RCU mechanism in the Linux kernel takes an aggressive approach to ensure that the grace periods are completed. For example, if the grace periods are not completed or it's waiting for a particular CPU to report a context switch, the RCU state machine will send an inter-process interrupt to that particular CPU to ensure that the CPU reports the context switch immediately. But in case of vCPU preemption, the vCPU itself is preempted and the vCPU cannot report a context switch. And that's the case, there's an increase in CPU utilization. We also ran experiments on the memory micro benchmark, which performs object allocation and defer freeing on all the CPUs. And as in the overcommitted scenario, we saw spikes in the grace period duration, and there was a lot of spikes in the memory footprint as well. And in this particular experiment, the peak memory footprint increased by around 50% when compared to the scenario where there was only one VM running on the hypervisor. So with this, there are a couple of impacts which we have identified. One is the latency. So there are a couple of calls, or there are a couple of APIs in the Linux kernel which can synchronously wait for the completion of the grace period. And due to vCPU preemption, if the grace period completion is delayed, there will be latency or spikes in the latency for such those kind of things. And with respect to the memory, because of the frequent allocation and freeing happening, and because of the memory not being reclaimed properly or reclaimed immediately, the kernel memory can get fragmented. And apart from that, because of the increase in the memory footprint in the system, it can trigger ballooning as well as swapping. And it also can cause increased CPU utilization, as I mentioned earlier. And interestingly, in the overcommitted scenario, if there is a spike in one VM, that can increase the memory footprint in the other VM. Because there's a spike in one VM that can preempt the vCPU of the other VM, and because of that preemption, there could be spike in the memory footprint of the other VM. So in summary, we can say that RCU redundant preemption problem can impact VM density and consolidation. To summarize, so this is the first evaluation of RCU redundant preemption problem, and we show that it has far-reaching performance impacts if VMs are overcommitted. And the solutions which are already existing for the lockholder preemption problem do not apply for RCU redundant preemption problem. And a couple of details are provided in the paper. And currently, we are evaluating a holistic solution to solve this RCU redundant preemption problem. So with that, I'm happy to take questions.
This is Jaro from University of Texas, Arlington. Can you share a little bit more on why this vCPU preemption can cause more or higher memory demand or memory footprint?
Okay, so vCPU preemption, so let me open the diagram. Okay, so to answer your question is why vCPU preemption should cause memory footprint spike. So getting back to this particular diagram, suppose this vCPU is preempted. And in this case, this vCPU cannot run, but this vCPU 1 and vCPU 3 are still running on the system. So in vCPU 3, we keep on adding or keep on deleting the nodes from the linked list, but the node cannot be reclaimed. But vCPU 3 keeps on adding nodes to the linked list. In the sense, we are allocating memory, we are defer freeing the memory, but the deferred freed memory is not reclaimed. The deferred freed memory, the object is deferred freed at the time of deletion of nodes from the linked list, but the deferred freed memory cannot be reclaimed until the grace period completes. So if the completion of the grace period is delayed, the reclamation of the object is also delayed. Meanwhile, because of the insert operations happening in the system, so the memory is frequently allocated, but memory is not freed back to the system frequently. So this will cause spikes in the memory footprint.
Hi, I'm Till from TeoJSON. I have a similar question. So I understand why the memory footprint increases, and I also understand why the latency increases, but I don't get why the CPU utilization increases, and whether this is kernel CPU, so is the kernel spinning somewhere to get to free the data, or I don't?
Can you please repeat the question? I didn't quite get that.
Okay, so the basic question is, why does the CPU utilization increase? So is it, and is it kernel CPU time that is spent, or is it some other?
Okay, so why is the CPU utilization time is increasing? So the CPU utilization time is increasing for the two reasons, because the memory allocator could be forced into the slow path very frequently. That's one reason. And the other reason is RCU gets aggressive in computing the grace period. So the time taken by the RCU state machine to compute the grace period increases. And that's the other reason for the increased CPU utilization.
So here you discuss only non-preemptive kernels and RCU non-preemptive kernels, but as far as I understand, most people use preemptive Linux kernels in production and in the cloud and multi-tenant environments. So my question is, how much worse does the vCPU preemption make? How much longer does it make the grace period durations for preemptive kernels? Have you looked into that?
Yes, yeah. So the first thing is most of the production server class systems are recommended to use non-preemptive versions, while the desktop systems are recommended to use preemptive versions to have more responsiveness. So irrespective of that, both will have similar effect. In the sense, even if you are using preemptive kernels, the RCU readset primitives is just setting a local variable, per CPU local variable, and it's not doing anything else. Mm-hmm. So the problem is still applicable for the non-preemptive kernels, and similar, not though exactly the same results, but similar results are applicable for non-preemptive kernels as well. Also, preemptive kernels as well, sorry.
Thanks.
Nadav Amit, VMware, very interesting. How special this problem is relatively to others? Is it not just one case of a more general problem, for instance, if I need to flush dirty pages and I have only one thread, kernel thread that does it, or maybe it affects also TCP behavior because the thread that right now sends data is interrupted. Isn't it just another case of a very general problem?
Yeah, so preemption problem is very generic, so it's already known. It can be a lock holder preemption or whatever you have mentioned, the other kind of preemption problem. The interesting thing is, because of the vCPU preemption, the impact is on the memory footprint. So usually we expect if the vCPU is preempted, we are not performing any operations, so memory footprint should not increase.
But if you don't flush dirty pages, you get pretty much the same behavior, I guess. If the thread, the kind of thread that flushes pages is interrupted, it might have the same effect, no?
Yeah, so you mean to say if the thread which is trying to flush the pages is interrupted or preempted, yeah. So if it's in the middle of the thing and if it's interrupted, that cannot be flushed, and yeah. Yeah, so that page cannot be reclaimed, and yeah, I think it will have some similar effects with this.
Thank you.
I had a quick question or kind of a comment too. And so we see lock holder preemption as a problem. We see RCU reader preemption as a problem. In general, if you use a more coordinated scheduling approach so that you can't kind of interrupt particular CPUs unless you interrupt all of them, more of a gang scheduling or a co-scheduling approach, do you think that would help alleviate this problem?
Yeah, so one approach we explored, or we are, what I can say is we are currently exploring, is the gang scheduling approach. But the problem is, what happens if you have a 32 CPU VM co-scheduled with a CPU VM? So in the sense, the 32 CPU VM should be completely moved out or context switched, and we have to schedule 8 CPU VM. But the rest of the other 26 CPUs or 26 CPUs will be idle. So in that case, gang scheduling may not work. So if you have heterogeneous configurations of VMs running, then gang scheduling or those kind of stuff may not work here.
Yeah, there are some less strict gang scheduling approaches. We could talk about it offline.
Okay.
Thank you.